What I wanted to start with those brilliant photographs that you were taking when you were in space and the excitement that we had here in Wales, when on the occasional morning I'd follow your Twitter feed and there'd be a picture of Wales or a picture of Cardiff, and as someone's put it on Twitter this morning, as you retweeted one of those pictures, said, "Oh my God, he's noticed us. Stay calm, everyone." But there's a little bit more to it than that, isn't there?
Well, sure. I mean, it's such an inherently beautiful place just from the geology of it, the ruggedness so close to the coast and the history right on the southwest coast. So it's just a beautiful place to look at. It's also a bit of a challenge sometimes with the weather to get a good clear picture. Sure. So when you get a clear picture, it's nice to get. But also I have a family history in Wales, so that made it doubly important to get a good shot.
Not only have you noticed, if you've been here.
Oh, of course. I mean, and my wife's family is from Wales. They're actually from Tylerstown, is where my wife's mother grew up. And the family's name was Hayes there. And when we named our second son, we actually named him after the Welsh side of the family. His great uncle, I think, was James Evans, and so we named him Evan James. So yeah, there's definite ties to the area, and it made it even more. Yeah, I don't know, more personal to take the pictures from orbit.
And you've been to the rugby at the Millennium Stadium?
I have, way back when the stadium was new. That's right. I went and saw the match there where Wales came second.
That's a nice way to put it.
Listen, we're speaking to an astronaut and we end up talking about rugby. That says a lot of, not about us as Welsh.
Yeah.
Having been, I mean, the book is called An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. You spent 20 years on Earth as an astronaut. I dare say you probably learned as much about the Earth during that time as you did when you finally got into space, because you spend a lot of time thinking, don't you, and planning.
Well, not just that, but the process by which you get ready to do something that is right at the edge of human capability, you know, something that is inherently extremely dangerous and therefore scary. How do you prepare for something that would naturally make you fearful? How do you get ready for something that may never happen and still maintain optimism? How do you conduct a life that allows you to do something right on the edge of human capability? And of course, an astronaut's life is on Earth. Only very rarely do we fly in space. And so when I was setting out to write the book, that title just made the most sense. A lot of space stories, of course, you know, what to do with a live snake in the air cockpit of an airplane with you or being blinded during a spacewalk. But really, what you draw from it, what's useful to people, that's really the point of it all. And that was the point of the book.
And lessons in it for everyone then. And I was explaining this to Felicity earlier, having read through the book yesterday, that we tend to focus on the positive, don't we, when we get in the frame of mind to do something. We try to think of everything that's going to go right and how brilliant we're going to be, when in actual fact we should be dwelling on the negatives.
Well, if everything's going to go brilliantly and we're going to be equally brilliant, then there's no point in preparing for anything. But that's never how life goes. Things always go wrong or go awry. And the real key to success, especially if it's critical or you only get one try, is to visualize, don't visualize success, but visualize failure. And then figure out, okay, this is the most probable thing to go wrong, and here are three ways I'm going to deal with that when that fails. And then I'm going to practice them a couple times so that I have it clear in my mind. And then the next most probable failure, anything, you know, getting to a job interview on time or getting up on stage to give a talk or whatever.
Or presenting a radio program.
Whatever it is that might give you fear or make you worried. Really spend the time in advance to visualize the most likely five things that are going to go wrong, and then how am I going to deal with those as they happen? Make them realistic, and then practice dealing with them. And then, even though it seems sort of gloomy to visualize failure, in fact, it makes you more comfortable and optimistic, and it's the only way we could ever ride rocket ships to leave Earth.
So be strategic, really, in terms of I suppose, thinking about how things might go and how you might want to deal with that. But do you do that in every area of life, Chris? Because if you did, surely you'd never have time to get past the planning stage for everything. Do you prioritize these things, presumably?
Well, if I have 10 minutes, if I knew that 10 minutes from now I was going to be on the radio with the two of you, then I would go, okay, let's see what happens if this fails, if I have trouble with this microphone, if the telephone quits or whatever. Just think through, okay, that might fail. I got 10 minutes. And we kind of call it in the astronaut office just working the problem, you know, and work the problem up until the moment that the event occurs and then work the next problem. Mm-hmm. And it's not like it's actually a confidence thing. You end up feeling, okay, I'm ready for whatever the next thing's coming going to be, rather than just sort of crossing my fingers and hoping and then being flummoxed when things go wrong.
Chris, I asked on Twitter this morning, I don't have anywhere near as many followers as you do, but if you had one question to an astronaut, what would it be? And the winner was Emma, who wanted to ask a great question, not about space again, but what was it like to put that first foot back on Earth again, that first moment of gravity?
Well, for Anna, it was an extremely unsteady footstep, that one. It was, your body gets so adapted to the beautiful, graceful weightlessness of being on a space station. It's like a ballet all the time. And when you come back, your body is just unused to the effect of gravity, and you're wobbly as can be. And because your balance system is messed up, it's like getting off one of the whirligig rides at the fair where your inner ear is all confused and dizzy. It's very nauseating and confusing. And so you're like staggering out of a bar at 3 a.m. when you're trying to walk. So it's extremely difficult when you first get back. Your body adapts pretty quickly. And it's nice to be home, but at the same time, it's both physically and a little bit psychologically overwhelming after the peace and grace of weightlessness.
I'll bet it is. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. I know you're in Cardiff today signing books. Ben Az is going to come and see you, our weather presenter. You're very excited, aren't you, Ben Az?
I certainly am. Can I just quickly ask a question? I just wanted to ask you if you think there'll become a day when all humans will be popping up to space for the weekend.
Well, very much like people will whether you're going to open the long runway there at the Cardiff Airport, where people can just get in an airplane and go somewhere. It's not 100% available, but it's readily available. It's within the budget of most people. It took over 100 years of flying to get to that level where the technology is good enough. Yes, we will get that way, but we have a lot of things to invent first. It's like asking me in 1908, you know, when will I be able to fly to the Algarve for the weekend? We're not quite there yet in technology, but the answer is yes.